Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman, with another woodland escape.
Well, welcome back to Cabin Country. We're talking to you from the Oakdale Studios, where you may hear the distant buzz of a neighbor's lawnmower. But we're not going to complain about that.
Not at all.
Because, it's better than a snowblower.
That's right.
As you said, Bjorn.
Lawnmower season.
I'm Fudd Klugman, and beside me is
Bjorn Lloydsted.
And yeah, we're excited to share our recent adventures. We got a head start, or an early start, I should say, on some Gull River, Brainerd, Baxter area adventures.
That's right.
And, all kinds of fun things to talk about. Things that I've been wanting to do for an awful long time. One being the Donovan Bassmaster Classic. My cousin Doug, I've mentioned this several times now, has been running this bass fishing contest from the shack since about 1981 or 82. I keep getting it mixed up. But we finally dropped in on him, and it was funny. On the way up, he called me and said, are you guys still coming up? And I said, well, certainly. He said, well, I just want to warn you that we've got about half of what we usually have up here. We've only got about 15 guys. And I emphasize guys. He does kind of have the Minnesota accent.
He does.
Well, the first thing we did when we got up there is we met up with our camera crew, Scotty Cummins and his son, Toby, and we jumped in to the new tracker.
A new boat.
Oh, look at that hawk. This is crazy. When does it kill if we get off the canoe paddle?
I'll just do a spin around here.
I can tell you honestly, I've never been in a boat that's got something as big as a 115 horse on the back, so it was wild to feel that engine take off.
The power.
The unbelievable, unbridled power.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
taking
right.
off upriver. Dude, a lot more power behind it than a 9-horse Mariner.
Oof, defeat.
Indeed. Indeed. There are one of two trips we've, Bjorn and I recently took, and on the second trip, for a couple of reasons, decided to not take up the tracker. One being that there was some kind of a servo hose that came loose from the motor and the hydraulic turning, you know. Nothing serious, but
needed repair before it went back to sea.
Needed repair, and we just thought, well, we had other plans. Ironically, though, we did more fishing than we thought. But we'll get to that in a moment. But this first trip, jumped into the tracker and put on the tall white light in the back.
Absolutely.
And then the front green and red light.
You bet.
Which is to help boaters from a distance, I guess, figure out which direction you're going. Although on the small Gull River, it's really not that much of an issue.
I've always been told, Fudd, that if you're approaching another boat, you're supposed to stay to the right. Stay to starboard. They go to their starboard, but our port just helps people figure out how to avoid running into each other.
Yes, and I will say that I did take out the boat with the family a week before the Donovan Bassmaster Classic, and I did break in the motor by messing up the prop just a little bit. We got into some shallow waters, churned up some mud.
Churned a little mud.
Must have hit some small rocks. But as my cousin Doug said, you're doing what you're supposed to. So
now it's christened. It's good.
Yeah, yes. But it was kind of like, oh, come on. The first time in, I'm chugging up river bottom, denting the prop. What an amateur. Come on. But anyway, so we just went up around the point and pulled into the Doug's dock and saw a group of guys up there and greeted warmly. And my Uncle Joe was up there. He's turning 90 this year. And
wow.
He's one of the pioneers of the shack and Joe's sons. There was Mike, Joe, and Doug, of course, and a bunch of friends. And they were getting the big scoreboard ready with everybody's names on it. Doug filled us in on the traditional tournament rules.
5 a.m. is the tournament start. Shuts down noon on Sunday. Not 12:01, noon on Sunday.
Is it catch and release? Or
catch and release. It's an honor system.
Honor system, okay.
Measure length. We convert the length to pounds because the cup obviously is pounds from back in the day.
Is everybody gone like all day or how does it work?
You know, if you're smart, you get up early and fish from 5 to 7:30 prime time, come back, maybe take a little siesta.
Yeah.
And have a cocktail.
Yeah, right.
And then you get busy again from 7 to 9:30. Or you could be the Three Stooges, these two right here and my brother Joe, and just fish the entire day. You can do that too. So there's lots of different ways to skin this cat. But I prefer early run and late run, prime time. I'm a prime time guy.
What's the shotgun? You know, is there a sound or do you just say,
it's the opposite.
Go.
It's the stealth. Get out of the bunk. Get out of your wrapper. Really quiet. Don't wake anyone up. Trolling motor off the dock. I'm not lying. And get about a football field away, start the motor up, slowly out, get around the bay, kick it down, head
awesome.
To your spot.
Go get some numbers early.
Go get some numbers early. And hopefully everybody stayed up too late. And back in the day, me and Pete Lattice would stay up all night just to fish from 5 to 7:30, sleep all morning and early afternoon, then wake up. Or all day. and then hit prime time.
It wasn't getting up at 5:30.
We were still up.
Oh.
And apparently, if you caught a fish under 12 inches or didn't catch anything, you get a Mr. Yuck sticker.
That's right. That was the key to avoid, the Mr. Yuck sticker. You know, maybe the lousiest angler of the bunch.
Yes, even though I will admit we really didn't go to participate in the contest as much as to sort of talk with Doug and Uncle Joe and a few others. And so after Sunday when we came and the winner got the cup to hold on to for a year until next year.
A couple $100
and
the cup and his
fistful
name.
Fistful of cash.
His name down on the cup in permanent glory.
That's right. And pictures taken and... another kind of a observance from my Uncle Joe.
I was a statistics man, and I surveyed all the conversations and every word spoken the whole weekend. I found out to be 97.3 bullshit.
There you go, 97% BS. Well,
he calls it like he sees it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Straight talker.
He's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
Absolutely.
But... this is Bjorn's first time entering inside the shack, and I hadn't been inside it for years myself, so we got a little tour. It was just my Uncle Joe and Doug and Bjorn and myself. And
I'd seen the outside of that shack many times on autumn trips when everything's kind of closed up for the year. I remember seeing the old sign, people's names painted on it, and poundage caught and all this kind of stuff sitting there amongst kind of wood that was just being allowed to go back to nature slash a fire pit at some point. And they've graduated to a whiteboard and some whiteboard markers. And it was just interesting to get inside that historic shack.
The historic shack. And we heard a little bit about, I think the dimensions were something that Uncle Joe and his buddy Skip argued about.
How big should this shack be?
Right. But there was a sacrifice.
You and Skip bought the property in 59.
Yeah.
And when did you build the shack?
That same year.
You and Skip got in an argument after you set the footings.
Yeah, 12 by 16. That's so, as big as he would go.
But you talked him into...
I want to go 12 by 20, that last 4 feet. And the way we argued all the damn time. And I, let's make a trade. We won't sheet this side, this side, and this side. We'll trade that for 4 feet of shack. Skip agreed to that.
He was so cheap, he wouldn't buy 3 buckets sheeting, so that's the siding.
And in conventional construction, you do sheet over the studs work. You just
right.
That was the compromise.
Yeah, it was a compromise, yeah. But I got my 4 feet, so...
Yeah, no drywall, no sheetrock on the inside.
Nothing at all, studs.
Ever. And it still has the original fiberglass on it that I remember looking at as a kid.
Insulation, yeah.
The insulation and... I think they've run electricity in there finally. Oh, excuse me, folks. I've just had an important interruption here. This just in, the name of the winner of the 2019 Bassmaster Classic was Paul Haskins.
Bassmaster.
And of course, he included the size of the fish, which was, I think, a northern, 19 pounds.
Wow.
Well, that's huge.
That's holy a really good size northern. Yeah.
Right.
That's impressive.
Oh, I think Don is trying to tell us something.
Don has a message.
I guess that would be the idiot alert.
Okay.
Look what I almost have to do.
Got a new message here from Cousin Doug that, no, it's not one 19-pound fish that we were just referring to.
They're a powerful bass.
That would have been huge. No, that I guess we forgot the rules. It was the best weight out of 6 fish. That's the Minnesota limit. So you were to catch 6 fish. You could catch 8, but choose the best 6 and add up the poundage.
Best fish tournament.
And then whoever had the most weight of the 6 fish, that's who the winner is, not one giant fish.
6 fish, 19 pounds.
Yeah. So congratulations again for your 6 fish.
Job well done.
Accumulating to 19 pounds. Anyway, back inside the shack with Uncle Joe and Cousin Doug. Ancient fiberglass insulation hanging since 1960, and also Doug's recently acquired 1890s-era wood-burning stove from a caboose, right?
And correct, yeah. It was from a railroad caboose, pre-1940s-era caboose,
wow.
Where they used to have the pot-bellied stoves in the caboose for heat and cooking. So there was a lip on the top of it with areas where you could place cooking utensils, and they would not
they wouldn't
slide
spill,
off. Yeah. They wouldn't spill over if the train, you know, took any crazy,
yeah,
any crazy curves or anything.
Unfortunately, apparently you can't use it. Insurance says that nope, you're not allowed to have this wood burning stove
in a cabin,
particular cabin.
Nope.
So he's gonna have to go to something else. I can't remember what he said.
I think that was still up in the air. They're not quite sure where they're headed next, but that he said he got a good price on it, and then it took a couple of very strong guys to muzzle this giant piece of cast iron into the cabin, into the shack, and it was all set, and they, you know, right under the chimney stack where that would come in, and he said, and we can't use it. So how about that? We're going to lug this thing back out. Who knows what we're going to do with it? But
oh, well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we got to see, you know, my Uncle Joe, he was a railroad engineer back in the day. And so on the shack's property, he's got an old railroad crossing sign.
Right, right.
A couple of lights. Very, very cool, you know. So that's why I've always loved trains, because you stand on the dock at the end of the point, and you're just looking at the railroad line that runs parallel to Highway 210. And several times throughout most days, you'll see the train and hear the train.
Hear it.
Cross the river.
It. Yeah.
There were many nights when I was very young and sleeping in the shack when in the middle of the night, I just remember, the whole shack seemed to shake with
sure.
the sound of the train whistle.
Big engines coming by and the whistle.
Echo down the river, so always had a romantic association with that for sure. But let's see, also we talked a little bit about the resort across the way and how... In former days, it was quite a hopping joint.
That kind of thing. I always would love to go back to the heyday of, you know, resort country.
Mm-hmm.
When a place like that establishment across the river, you know, all of, what, 100 yards across
yeah.
across the to the other side. And there's the the main building. All kinds of rental cabins, of course, but the big main building with the old-style beer light on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
You just picture that all lit up and, you know, 50s-era cars kind of parked all over the place. And sound of music and whatever else type of revelry was going on in there, but right. Probably well into the night. And just to see what that would have been like. I wonder, too, if it wasn't a place where people would come up by boat and just kind of beach their boats and come in and sample some of the libations.
So speaking of Little Pine, this is what I want to know, and I'm glad this came up. So when you guys got up there, because I remember as a kid, we got our gas there, we got minnows there, we got worms there.
You could rent an outboard motor or boats. You had boat rentals and outboard rentals.
Was that right from the moment in 1960 you guys built the cabin? Was that like that? And who was the owner? When did it change hands?
At that point, it was a retired teacher. He had an airplane across the way. And he ran it really good. Those cabins were neat as a pin. They were always all filled up to meet help. Well, then Kenny took it over, and Kenny was more liberal. He didn't really take care of things. He ran a kind of a loose ship, so he didn't keep the cabins up real well. But he did more business, though. Boy, oh boy, did he really load them up. He had weekdays. He had a fish night and a hamburger night and all that stuff. He'd pack them in. That place, remember, well, you remember going to bed.
Oh, yeah.
1 o'clock, oompa, geez.
Yeah. Hey, wait, so when did Ron come in?
Oh, after Kenny. So Ron just let it go. He didn't. He doesn't rent cabins out anymore on special
order. Well, he ran it for, you know, 10, 15 years or longer.
Yeah.
He told me he bought it for $140,000.
Who, Ron did?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he was offered over $3 million from a golf course person, and he should have taken it.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah, there's a lot of property there. Can you remember when the Iowa gang would come? There was a week or 2 week period in the summertime, it was all Iowa folks. And they brought their trailers, they filled up the resort, every cabin was chock full. The beach was chock full of kids and women, and the guys were nuts for fishing. They never had fishing like the Gull River. So it was all Iowa farmers.
This would be great.
Yeah, we just found out that the most recent owner died like a year or so.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
Just real recently. I think his name was Ron. And it's a big place, a lot of property over there, and I think occasionally he would rent one of the cabins that are still there to somebody who might need it, but I don't know what it's being used for.
It seemed
now.
To me, too, Fudd, that maybe our winner in this bass tournament was actually renting a cabin across the way, because the shack is tight for space.
Yes.
And out on that peninsula, out on that point, there's only so many places people can pitch tents and park trucks and boat trailers and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I got the feeling, if memory serves me right, he was saying that they had a cabin across that they'd rented from the family of the resort owner. So,
were there any tents? There were one or two tents, but I think it was mostly a camper.
Yeah, pop-up camper kind of stuff.
Yeah, apparently it's like my Uncle Joe describes it as Tent City when all the friends converge for the most year's Bassmaster Classic, but
With that highfalutin new HGTV version outhouse they've got,
that was pretty amazing.
It's watered and it's powered.
Amazing, yeah. It's
paneled with old barn wood. It's unbelievable. I was like, good Lord, you could live in this.
So you guys remember the old outhouse, right?
Oh yeah.
We used to have that cleaned out, right? A guy would come out with a honey pumper and he'd have to pump water into it, mash it. Because Turd Mountain just kept coming back, coming at you.
Yeah.
So we had to burn it once the permit was, we can build this, but then you got to tear down that once it was done.
Oh, yeah,
so the old outhouse is right by that pickup truck right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the new outhouse. Nothing but the finest.
Wow. Dang.
Oh, my gosh.
That's could win better homes and
gardens. Better homes and gardens. Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
But you can actually turn water on and flush a toilet and take a shower.
That's
now my wife finally comes up for 4th of July more than 2 days.
I think he's doubled up 2x12 floor joists or whatever you call them.
Sure.
Like, so that thing is not going anywhere.
Stable. So. The shack will be gone and that outhouse will still be standing.
Yes.
That's some interesting talk, too. They were, your cousin and your uncle were talking about like how the vegetation along the riverbank has changed since the early 60s, late 50s, and how it used to be kind of wild rice country.
Yeah.
And suddenly it all just kind of disappeared and was replaced by
Coontail.
I never heard that before, but
It's kind of a milfoil.
Right.
It looks like sort of a thin, long, piney kind of water weed, you know, where...
Right. Well, we've all seen it many times when we've hauled in our...
Exactly.
Hauled in our lures and gone, what in the world?
It's part of the salad. You're pulling off your treble hooks or whatever. And,
right.
But apparently, bass like to hide in that.
Yeah, your cousin Doug was saying it's great for bass. Bad for wild rice. Great for bass.
Both my dad and Uncle Joe remember when I think some, you know, Ojibwe Native Americans in the area would take canoes and harvest the wild rice along the Gull River for quite some time. I don't know when that changed significantly. I think it was in the late 80s, right about the time when my dad got his place in 1987, 88, when he got his property just a little down the river from the Donovans. And it just got weedier year by year and kind of just a lot thicker and harder to fish. I mean, it's still plenty of fish, but in late summer, it gets pretty thick weed-wise, at least
walk,
where we are.
Walk across the water.
It kind of seems like it, yes. I did come across a recording of my dad explaining how him getting our leased property came about, and it seemed to be quite a lucky thing. I'll let him explain it.
As far as the lots go, I was up there one of the days with these guys, because that's when I just had them. That's the only place I could go, of course, and they loved it up there. We had lots of fun. And I saw this guy out down your driveway with a clipboard, and I thought, I just wonder. So I went down and talked to him, and I said, can I ask what you're doing? And he said, well, I'm from Minnesota Power. We check every year how they do. And I says, you by any chance know if there's any lots available? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, there's... I think five of them up right now going to go on the block. But they didn't have a price on them. You offered a price.
Okay, like what, Bill, at that time?
Well, we went and checked them all, and I didn't have any money, but I got, it was in the spring or what, because I got my income tax. It's the only way I ever had anything. And I bid $1,101 for it.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, if somebody bids $1,000, I got, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. And remember we picked the one out? I don't know if you remember. We remember the lower ones upriver? You know where the bay is before you get to the culvert?
Yeah.
There was a bay in there, and there was two lots in there. That were, actually, it would have been nice for boat launching because they just went right down, you know. But I like this one here because of the channel and everything else. So I waited and waited, and I got a call, and they said, congratulations. You know, you just got the... Okay, you got the lot, and you really got a deal because it's worth well over $10,000.
Oh, my God.
I was ecstatic.
Sure.
Thinking about how tough it is now for
people
to get lake property without, you know, selling two of their three cars and maybe one of the kids.
Yes.
It's incredible how much, you know, lakeshore and riverbank property is going for these days, and your dad's story really puts things into perspective what it was like back in the late 70s, early 80s.
It's not like this anymore.
No, not at all.
So I'm very grateful that my dad lucked out. Nobody outbid him, and so we got this great place to go year after year. Nothing has changed that much in the last 40 years, so
dirt
that's
roads,
what's nice about it.
Dirt roads and heavy woods.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't take much to hop in the car, and you're in Brainerd in about 5-10 minutes, and it feels like you're back here in the Twin Cities somewhere.
Right.
But that's all right. It's still you still feel surrounded by woods and lots of trees. One last thing I wanted to mention from the eve of the 2019 Donovan Bassmaster Classic was when my Uncle Joe showed us an old nostalgic remnant from a part of the shack that was being cremated in a bonfire that very night.
You see, you think this old board is just an old board, right?
It says U.S. on it, yeah.
It does. Do you remember the old double bunks?
Oh, I slept in them, yeah, of course.
Okay, here's the this was my bunk. It's 100 years old.
Really?
It was a part of a World War I Army bunk.
Really?
It was sold for surplus. A friend of mine bought them. Their shack burned down. They gave us the bunks. That was the old bunks were in the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're down and going in the fire tonight, I think.
Oh, they're being burned up right now.
If they're not, they will be. They're down there.
Wow.
I sawed that out of there and I saved it. U.S. Army surplus from 1918.
Wow.
It was my bump, so I had a lot of good snoozes in this. I didn't want to see it go in the fire.
Well, right.
What the hell?
Yeah, I spent many uncomfortable nights on the top of one of those World War I Army bunks, but they were a part of the shack I will never forget.
Absolutely.
Well, this might be a good time to warm up your coffee or switch lures if you got a line in the water. Bjorn and I will be back with some tales of our adventures at Paul Bunyan Land.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.